Hey Sandbags, and welcome to another episode of the Raw Barbell Club podcast. On today's episode, I have Joshua Ward in. Joshua Ward is the owner of Controlled Chaos Weightlifting in Victoria, as well as the founder of the Weightlifting Platform. The Weightlifting Platform is this really exciting new thing. It's a new service where Josh and his team are trying to bring the weightlifting athletes and the profile of Australian weightlifting to higher and higher levels. It is an initiative that I am deeply grateful that someone is doing, and I think it's going to be a really, really good thing for Australian weightlifting as it progresses. Right now, at the time of recording this podcast, it's very much a Victorian thing, but as this podcast is being released, I can see their growth and that they are expanding all over Australia. It's really cool, and guys, I think you guys really, really, really need to check them out. So go find them on Instagram, go check out their website. They have some really cool little articles, and I actually joined them for their Nationals Day 2 review. So you can go check that out on their Instagram to see me stuff up all of my words under pressure in a live interview. But it was a lot of fun anyway. I asked Josh to be on the podcast a while ago, and this became the perfect opportunity to do it when we were recording, when we were at Nationals itself. So this was recorded a few months ago, but it's a cool episode, and I think we were watching a session of Nationals during this. So at some points we're talking about the actual session we're watching too. If you guys love this episode just like I did, please go onto iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you hit that like button if you're watching this on YouTube, or if you didn't know that we actually release these podcasts on YouTube with, you can see me, you can see Josh talking, go check it out as well. Subscribe. We have a lot of cool content there too. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Raw Barbell Club. And guys, if you really want to help the podcast out, you now can. Making this podcast is a lot of fun, but we thrive off your donations. Actually, we survive off your donations. To every single person that has already donated, thank you so much. And if you want to donate, just go to www.rawbarbellclub.com/donate. Making this podcast, again, like I said, is an amazing experience, but it does come at a cost to us. We do this because we love it, and we like to teach, we like to learn, but you know, getting all these people on takes a lot of bandwidth, and then hosting the podcast, all the equipment, everything like that also costs money. So all we're asking for is the price of a coffee. If everyone donated that, we'd be good to go. Thanks again to everyone who's already donated, and guys, this was a fire episode. I really liked it. I think you'll like it too. Let's go. Supersonic.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
But we're okay. We're good to go.
Still alive.
Yeah. Hey guys, and welcome to Raw Barbell Club Podcast. I'm your host, coach, and all-around good guy, Andy. Today I'm here with Joshua Ward from Controlled Chaos Weightlifting and the Weightlifting Platform.
That's it. Hello, how's it going?
Man? Are you happy that I got that in the first take?
Yeah, dude, you smashed that.
If only I could have done that when we did that.
I mean, we sucked as well. We took how many takes to get that? Dude.
So that was impressive. I was super lucky today because you guys asked me to help out with one of your little promo things for the weightlifting platform. You guys are the official media source for the Australian Weightlifting Federation this weekend.
Well, I don't know if we're the official ones.
I'm pretty sure you're the official ones.
We've been allowed to come by Australian Weightlifting. But yeah, well, I mean, we're super grateful to be here, and it's incredible. We're just trying to give weightlifting a bigger boost and get it out into the media.
And some kind of voice.
Yeah, exactly. Give weightlifters voice. We have some incredible personalities in weightlifting, and no one really knows about them. So, it's just great to get them out and people know who they are and get invested interest in the competitions. We're watching the 89 session now.
Oh yeah, so if you're watching this video and you see us look down every now and then, we were trying to do this podcast inside, but we were being too loud, so we thought it would be nicer if we left and watched it here. So the weightlifting is actually happening just over there, but we're watching it on the phone, which is kind of weird, but
but anyway, it is what it is. And it's a bloody great session though, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's pretty
cool. How many lifters are pushing for the podium spot here? We have like Auntie and Sean Fitzgerald, and then Joel Gregson, and Matt Pitt just had a lift in and crushed his opener. So, oh man, it's such a great weekend, isn't it?
You love the 89s.
Oh, right? Dude, the 89s are the best. I mean, I'm an 89, so last year I competed against these guys, and obviously they wiped the floor with me, but they're just so good. And Pitty's coming up to lift now, and God, he's just so good to watch.
I don't know if you know this, but like, the first time I ever met you was here.
Yeah.
At the IS.
Yeah.
At the level three.
Was that here?
Yeah. Was that level three? Yeah, you did the level three, right?
Yeah, I did level three. I just didn't. Was it here?
Yeah, it was here.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I have no idea. No, it was the Zygmunt course.
Was it?
Yeah, it was the Zygmunt course.
I thought I met you before that.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I did my level three after that.
Okay, then I
made yeah.
it. But that was also here.
Yeah, that was here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go, Petty. Nailed it.
And I remember, talking to you, and you were like, oh, you know, I'm a 77. You were a 77 at the time.
I was a light 85, yeah.
So you were 77, and you were like, oh, you know, I compete, you know, at I've been to nationals. I have a club. It's called Controlled Chaos, where renting out of another gym. And I was like, fuck, this guy is me, like, in Victoria. He's the exact same person.
Yeah, we just opened up at that stage. I think we'd been running for like 8 months or something. Started out with three little platforms in the corner of a boxing gym, and then I think within like 3 months we had to ask to expand in the boxing gym, so we added some jerk blocks and another platform, and then another 3 months went by and we had to expand again. And then eventually got kicked out because we basically took over the boxing gym. So
you did get kicked out?
Yeah, we got kicked out. But because we grew too big, and it was just kind of, we were just taking over the space. It was just, we didn't have enough space. And now we're in a much bigger facility. We have a full competition platform at our place, 8 platforms, and it's just awesome. I just love it, man.
Your gym looks so nice.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And it's so clean looking. All that exposed pine everywhere.
Yeah, that's it. It looks clean. I mean, I'm pretty lucky. One of my coaches, Riz, we call him Pop. He keeps it pretty tidy for us. He makes sure that everything's pretty clean. I'm not the cleanest guy in the world. So
really?
I just have shit everywhere.
Well, that was clean.
Yeah,
speaking
that was
of
nice.
Clean, that lived.
But yeah, I'm very lucky to have Riz on board, and he makes sure it looks clean and tidy, and especially for the competitions that we run, it's pretty neat.
Well, I like how it's set up, because you've got that competition platform right at the back,
yeah,
and then all the other platforms just line the sides.
On the side, yeah. So, and then we have the bench down the middle where we can like put up a barrier to separate the warm up and the competition area, and I'm stoked at how it turned out. Like, it's just incredible. It's just a dream come true, really.
How big is your space?
I think it's 340 square feet,
yeah.
Meters, something, 340 something. And then we've got an upstairs office space as well. But we're in like a warehouse complex, and people always get lost. We don't have the best signage in the world, but people get lost coming in. But
I have zero signage in my gym.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like, if someone comes, they've got to really want to come to Raw Barbell.
Yeah, exactly. They've got to find it.
They've got to find it.
Yeah,
they've got to put in the work. That's what I always say.
Yeah,
I missed that lift. Was
yeah,
it
me too. I don't know who that was.
What is that? 119?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you're
the
going 125 now. 125. Yeah, it must have been 124.
Man, that's jumping up real fast.
It is. It's going to be such a tight competition. But I mean, obviously Boris is probably going to take it out. If he makes his openers, he'll probably win it, but then
because Boris's best snatch is like 140, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
and I think it's in the 40s. I think it might be 42 or something.
I just don't like that you can't see the warm-up room.
Yes,
actually, you know what pisses me off about the live stream, Sorry, AWS. I would love a live scoreboard.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea. Like, it's only my weightlifting brain that understands that the bar is set at 25.
Well, at the juniors and youth, they within their live stream, they had the scoreboard there. They had the graphics pop on up and everything. It was awesome. They did so well. Oh, go, Auntie. Come on. This guy's a Kiwi lifter. Oh, he used to live in New Zealand. Oh. I'm a Kiwi, so I support the Kiwi lifters.
Ah, fair enough. We're going to have to end this podcast.
That guy's a beast. Used to lift with Richard Patterson.
Yeah, okay. Who's like a top Kiwi lifter. Yeah. He should actually be on the podcast. I should reach out to him.
Yeah, man, he's super cool. Super cool.
Because I'm friends with like Doug Saccone and Andy Barakas and stuff.
Yeah, hit them up.
So I really should get more NZ lifters on.
That's the plan for the weightlifting platform. Like after we kind of get our feet in Australian weightlifting, I'd love to be able to do Australia and New Zealand, have people in every state, and then have people in North and South Island, just kind of covering the sport. Because again, New Zealand doesn't get a lot of coverage as well. It's a great excuse to go back and forth from New Zealand to the competitions and stuff they have. How cool would that be, having people in every state riding?
Tell me a bit about like why you started this thing. I know you say you want to give a voice to like the lifters, and I think that's super important, but I guess that's why I started the podcast
too. Definitely.
But then it evolves and changes and stuff like that. What was going on through your head when you started this?
Well, there's like a few different reasons. Like, I just wanted to kind of get involved in Australian weightlifting a little bit more and wasn't sure how. But then I saw Elaine at a competition nearly break a world record. And I was like, why don't people know about this? Why didn't I know about this? Like, I love weightlifting. I'm fully invested in it. And I didn't even know this is what was happening. So, like, people should know about these things. And
you're talking about Eileen Sigamatana.
Yeah, Eileen, sorry.
Who's probably our number one weightlifter. She would be going to the Olympics if she had citizenship.
She does have citizenship.
And if she had citizenship.
Sorry, from the start of the qualifying block. Yeah, so I saw that and I was like, why do people not know about her and more weightlifters? And I was just like, I obviously saw your stuff and I saw like Weightlifting House and then obviously,
shout out to Seb,
you're the man. also coming from a CrossFit background, I love the sport of CrossFit, and they just do a really good job at like media, publicizing and stuff like that.
Every single CrossFit athlete.
Yeah, right. And like we have the national champs here, and how many people can you list, like how many people like in the stands can list off every person at that session?
That's true.
Like, it's national champs, guys, come on. Again, just trying to get people's personalities out there, and I want people to have that invested interest and want to be able to follow them on Instagram and want to be able to see their interviews. We were talking to an American guy at my gym, and we were saying like, you know how like you want to represent your team, you're like, oh, my team or my athlete or whatever, but we always just say that about the American athletes just because we had that invested interest in them. It's like, why not about the Australian athletes and the New Zealand athletes? That's kind of what we want to do, is just bring it up. And so I brought it up with the guy at my gym, Dan Wood, and I was just like, he's a journalist, and I was like, how is this possible, like, can I do it? And he's like, dude, I'd love to be involved. So we joined together, and he's my business partner in this. We're doing it. And then today at Nationals, we have Beck Spink. This would not be happening without her. She has just done absolutely everything this weekend. And big shout out to Beck, because she's just killing it up there.
Yeah, she's doing real good.
All the stuff you see on social media this weekend is pretty much all her. So.
Well, you guys have been putting out a bunch of quality content. Your interviews are really good. They're exactly what you picture like a professional media service doing.
Thanks, man. I mean, it's not too bad. Like with the phone, like we're just doing it with an iPhone and a microphone we just randomly picked up before we came, and obviously asked you for some pointers and input and stuff as well. And it's come together really well. I'm really stoked at how it's come together.
Yeah. So the biggest thing, when I started the podcast, my girlfriend is very much a genius. And if I don't mind.
Yeah. And, oh, wow.
So, like, I was like, oh, I want to get a podcast. I want to start this podcast. I want to, you know, buy all these expensive, like, this expensive equipment to record on and all of this. And she's like, you know what? Like, just fucking do it. Just try it out first. And then, oh, he's back.
Sorry, one second. Troy's lifting too. So I'm going to cut thee off 1 second. Come on, Troy. From Bendigo Weightlifting Club. Just missed out on the Commonwealth Games last year.
Troy Hukins?
Yeah. Oh, easy, mate. That's awesome. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. Yeah, she was just like, you know, just start. Start. So I recorded on my like shitty iPhone 6 for ages. Did most of my like interviews with all the Comm Games athletes and stuff like that on that. And then afterwards, when we started like actually getting some traction, that's when I invested in the studio. And you know, now finally we have like a phone that actually, I mean, a camera that actually shoots in like
4K. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Something that you can put up and it looks good. I mean, your stuff looks awesome. And
thanks,
and,
dude.
Yeah, I've been listening to quite a few of your podcasts. But yeah.
This guy has one of the smoothest techniques on the 70s.
Do you know his name?
89s. No, but he's from...
Western Australia?
Western Australia.
Come on.
He's so...
What's on there, 127? Crack goes silent. Hold on. Oh.
He looks massive, though.
Yeah, he does look big.
89s is a weird class, right?
It is. You've got the tall, like, Boris, yeah. And then you've got, like, Auntie, which is this small and stocky as all hell. And then pretty much everyone in between. I was always that that tall, lanky 85 or 89.
Yeah.
Now, I've just talking to my coach, and I was like, I think I might go up to the 96s because I don't really want to cut in 3 weeks for my next competition. So yeah. I think I might just be moving up to the 96s and just kind of stick it out there. I'm pretty tall, so I probably should be in the 96s.
Well, how tall are you?
I think I'm 6'1".
Wow. So, yeah, you should be a 96.
Yeah, exactly. At least. Yeah, I should be a 102, but I'm not. I don't know if I could physically, mentally get that big.
How do you do it all? Like, because you're like coaching, you own a gym, you're owner of this weightlifting platform now, and then you're trying to compete as well. Like, fuck, that's got to be pretty tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is. It's incredibly tough, but I don't do it all. That's the thing. Like, I have such an incredible support system. Like I said, I have Riz, that he's a coach at our gym and a really good friend, and he kind of keeps me grounded. And same with Beck, a really good friend of mine, trains at my gym as well. And she's running the weightlifting platform this weekend while I'm coaching and trying to kind of balance both things. So, like,
she's doing the work while you're here chatting.
Pretty much. Like, she's up there making videos right now, like, while I'm out here having fun. So, it is taxing trying to balance everything, but I could not do it without them too. Those two guys are just lifesavers for me. So, yeah, big shout out to them. Yeah.
Hey, you got a good team, man.
Yeah.
It's coming along.
That's what, I mean, I had... when I left, when I was working in the CrossFit gym, when I left that gym to start up my own...
what gym were you working at?
CrossFit Brunswick East. They closed down now. But the owner there gave me some advice. She's like, just always ask for help. If you need help, never be too big to ask for help. And that's kind of what I've done, I feel. And these guys are just above and beyond what I could imagine for friends and colleagues and just awesomeness.
That's really good advice, dude, because that's something that I struggle with, like, and especially like when I went away and stuff, like, you just need to ask.
Yeah, definitely,
because people will step up, but sometimes they don't want to overstep,
for sure. And look, to be fair, they're gonna say no if they can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they can't do it, then it's fine. You just got to keep on keeping on, you know? But if you have a really good relationship with a few people and you trust them and whatnot, then you can kind of to and fro. You can ask them, they'll say no, they'll say yes, they'll do more than you expected. It's some of the best advice that I've had, and not even in the business sense, but also like, mentally or physically, just being able to go to people and talk is really important.
For sure.
Yeah.
When did you first like emigrate to Australia?
7 years ago. So I think it was like 2 days after I finished high school.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, see you later.
Was there a reason that you moved?
Yeah, well, I lived in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And so after the earthquakes, it was just kind of nothing really left. Well, there was, but not for me. And we'd been to Melbourne a few times to watch the Australian Open, the tennis.
Yeah.
And we just loved it here. And so I'd always tried to plan to get out of Christchurch. When I finished high school, I wanted to go play rugby professionally or semi-professionally overseas. I got concussed like 5 times in my last season, so that kind of like...
That doesn't surprise me. That's a hell
so,
of a sport.
Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of fell through with all that type of stuff. And then we were sitting around the TV one night and my mum was like, let's move to Australia. And it just literally happened. Within the next 6 months, we were here.
Wow.
So had nothing. Knew a couple people. We stayed with a couple friends for a bit, and then yeah, just kind of from there grew. Had no idea that I was going to be here when I moved over. I wasn't really in the weightlifting scene. I kind of just started weightlifting then. And yeah, it's just kind of blossomed from there.
Has your mom always been like that, where like she's like, you know, not spur of the moment, maybe she's been thinking about it, but like she has an idea and then just executes?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where I get it from.
I think that's what I was going to go into.
She's a massive role model in my life. Just always been a part of everything. Like the rugby club, I played for, I think, 17 years from like 2.5 years to whenever I left. And then she ran that club. Like she was the junior club captain. She was the first female club captain. And she just ran everything and worked a full-time job and sometimes worked too, and was just an incredible. So that's kind of where I get it from. And she, yeah, she's just a really great role model for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's kind of always been that way. We've always moved house. We always like moving. We always like something new and different, in our lives. So, why not just move countries?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, most people don't say that.
that's
the reason that you're doing all this cool stuff, right?
Yeah, right? It's the... I mean, Australia has just given us a great opportunity to do what we want.
Going from rugby, like, how did you find weightlifting?
Through CrossFit. So, okay.
The regular progression for
pretty
us.
Much, pretty much. So,
how did you find CrossFit?
Oh, yeah, off season on rugby. I saw me and my friend were watching ESPN and saw the CrossFit games. I think it was 2011 CrossFit games we were watching.
That's when Froning couldn't climb the rope?
Yes, that was Christian Clever's year she yep. won.
Man, she was a beast.
She was awesome, wasn't she? And so what we're watching that, and he found a guy that was training out of his garage. And then he moved into a space and I started with him the day he opened up his first gym.
Gym was that?
Trailblazer CrossFit,
okay.
Back in Christchurch. Super strong guy, Kip. I can't remember your last name, Kip, sorry. But yeah, what a beast. And he was right into weightlifting.
Yeah.
So pretty much from day dot, we got into weightlifting. And then, yeah, came over here and wanted to get stronger for CrossFit. So I kind of stopped CrossFit for 6 months and just focused on weightlifting. I was coaching myself at the time in my garage. Went to my first competition, met my first coach, Zach Grigorich. And he took me to nationals that year, and then it's kind of just went from there. It's just been a whirlwind since then.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when did you first decide that you were like, oh, you know what, I need to start coaching as well?
To be honest, that was back in Christchurch. That was in high school.
Okay.
I always knew that I wanted to coach. Didn't know what. I coached volleyball. I played volleyball, so I coached volleyball. I coached a junior rugby team as well while I was playing, and just loved it. I just loved it so much. So I came over here, started coaching a rugby team over here, and that was probably the worst year ever.
Their worst year?
Probably theirs as well. Yeah, it just wasn't a great season for anyone. We didn't have a best team. We had parents that expected a lot.
Yeah.
And I got death threats and I got threatened took kids off the field when they were being little shits, basically. and parents didn't like that.
What age was this?
This was under 11s, I want to say. So it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was ridiculous from this one guy. Anyway, he was, it was just, it was stupid. But anyway, so that was shit.
Please tell me more about this.
Oh, look, so.
What kind of death threats were you getting?
Not much. Just yelling across the field at me and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't like anything in the mail or whatever. It was just like yelling across the field, like, I'm going to kill you and all this type of stuff. And it's just like, you put your son, because you told your son something to do on the field that contradicted what I said, but also put another kid at risk.
Yeah,
I took him off the field because that doesn't happen. I'm sorry, but you're not bigger than the team.
Yeah.
And so I took him off the field, and then it just blew up, and I was just like, "See you guys. You can have the rest of the season by yourselves."
Yeah.
That was pretty much the end of the season. But and I guess that's the kind of the culture that I kind of try and preserve and control chaos as well. Like, no one person's bigger than the team. Everyone's there competing for a team, even though it is an individual sport.
Except for the supers.
Except for they're always bigger. Yeah, true. But no, seriously, it's super important to have a really good team around you. And if you have a really good support base, like I said before, if you have a really good support system with your teammates, then you're bound to succeed. You can't not. So, yeah.
So, Zach was your first coach. Who's your current coach?
I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
So, I have so many injuries. Yeah. Oh, who just missed? Troy just missed. Oh, no, he made it. Yeah, Troy.
But it looks like he had a shoulder.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Maybe he's taking off his suit.
Do you want to rewind that one?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh. Give it a double tap.
It's not
working. Okay, cool. So, I have so many injuries. Just from playing rugby and volleyball and then weightlifting, it just didn't really complement each other.
Of course.
So hip and back, just not great. So I find it really difficult to have a coach. And
especially because you probably need a coach that's kind of remote.
Like, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I do have Riz. So Riz, I bounce everything through Riz. One of the coaches at my gym, he... like I said, I was talking to him this morning and being like, oh, I think I might go up to 96, and we talk it through together and stuff like that. He coaches me all the competitions and stuff like that. So yeah, he would be my coach. I program for myself when I can train off. I had the last 8 months off because of injuries and I've only just started getting back into training. But I don't know about you, but when you're training, like, do you feel that you're more in touch with weightlifting? Like, you're more in touch with coaching?
Yeah.
Like, I find when I'm not training, I find that it's so hard to kind of, feel what the lifters are feeling, you know? Like, it's hard to empathize with your lifters because you're just not going through that yourself. And so that's why I love competing as well, is because I love being able to put myself in the position that they are in and understand what they are going through and feeling. And that's why I can relate to them. And each competition, I try and take it a little bit different so I can relate to different people each time, because obviously everyone's so different. And you've got, as a coach, you've got to be able to talk and communicate differently to every single athlete that you have. So,
Yeah, no, I feel the same way I did. Like, you have to. I think coaches have to do some kind of training.
Yeah.
You can't ever let yourself go. It doesn't have to be snatch, clean, and jerk, because obviously with age and just with injuries and stuff, like, sometimes that gets a bit hard.
Yeah.
But you should be doing something.
Definitely.
You should be training hard. And you want to lead by example, right?
Exactly. You want to be that leader that leads by actions, not by your words. And there's a lot of lifters, obviously ex-lifters and stuff, that have gone through the Olympics and gone through the Com Games and represented Australia and their country. And they've already done that. They've been there. They, like, you know, to listen to them, you know? There's also that type of coach where you like have that respect because you know that the hard work they've put in, and now they're 50, 60, 70 years old, and you're like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and those people command the room, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like when someone like... who's a good... Well, when someone like Zygmunt talks, you listen.
Exactly.
Right? Even
exactly.
If you don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah. even like Ivan Katz or Harvey Goodman from Victoria. Like, when they walk in, like, I just love picking their brain.
Yeah, you know? You know, like, it's hard, like, especially Harvey, because I've actually talked to him, like, you would listen to them either way just because they're good talkers.
Exactly. They tell exactly. good stories. Yeah, you're like, yeah.
And then what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we had an interview. Yeah, we posted an article just after you had the podcast with Harvey.
Did you interview him before?
Yeah, we had probably 3 weeks before, like, before you put out your podcast.
Oh, okay, so I had interviewed him like a month before.
Oh, really?
On the interview, or just before we started, he was like, "Oh, now Josh is gonna message me and like, ask for an interview."
That's so funny. Yeah. So, that was just a massive coincidence. Yeah. And yeah, he's just great stories, you know. Like, you're just like, what happened in that world champs, or what did you do at the Olympics, or when all those guys went up a weight division to avoid you and stuff like that. And then even when they walk in and you have we have a state training day or something, and just like, what do you think about my lifter? You know, like, what can we change, or where are their weaknesses, just from you watching them and stuff like that? Because it's important to get different eyes, because if you have the same eyes on the one person the entire time, like, you can't see everything. So
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a danger. And I often will ask, like, my close friends who are coaches, to just have a look at my lifters and, you know, give me some tips to work on.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you see something, if you see someone every single day, you let them get away with things that, you know, you might not let a new person get away with. And that's the difference between, like, a seminar coach and a actual coach.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
You know, sometimes your lifter might go away to a seminar and come back and be like, oh, you know, like, this changed completely because I did this one thing that this coach told me. And I was like, yeah, you know, I told you that too. You just didn't listen when I told you. Or it might just be something that you didn't think about because it's, you know, like, just ingrained.
Oh, how often does that happen?
So much.
Like, there's a guy at my gym. He's been lifting for maybe 8 months now.
Yeah.
And I've been telling him to relax his arms in the jerk, because he just presses out the jerk every time. He hurts his elbows and just, like, it just shits me so much. He's like, relax your arms, open up your hands. And so he doesn't. He just hadn't. And then he came to me the other day and he's like, I fixed my jerk. I was like, how? And he's like, I'm opening my hands in the dip and drive. I was like, are you serious, bro? Like, are you serious right now? Like, oh my God. And he's just like, yes, I know, you told me that. I was just like,
and that's when you turn into that guy across the field that's like, you're gonna kill me.
Yes. Yeah, so bad. But then, like, you have lifters come in, like Luke Gazzola. He's probably my most experienced lifter. He's competing against you guys today as well.
Yeah,
in the 102s.
Yeah.
He's been lifting with us for about 3 years now. And he comes in every now and again, and he's like, oh, I've changed this, or I'm thinking about doing that. And we'll sit down and have a discussion about it, or we'll talk about it and be like, why do you think that? Or why did you move your hands in the snatch and stuff like that? And, like, you just have to be open to listening, yeah? And try it. If it doesn't work, you just go back.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, it's going to work. And he's just recently moved his hands in the snatch. And it's changed everything. It's a game changer for him. His snatch has just gone through the roof because he's so much more stable overhead. And it's something that I thought about when he first started. He was a little bit tight through his shoulders and ankles when he first started. And I was like, when he gets more mobile, I'll bring his hands in. And I just completely forgot all about it because he was just progressing so quick. And then he came in the other day and I was just like, oh, like, that's such a good idea. Like, let's just go with it, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have to be open to that type of stuff.
And I mean, it also takes someone who's, like, experienced to recognize things like that. Because definitely, I mean, it's quite obvious that, you know, if the hands are closer, that it's going to, you know, be harder on your mobility. But what people don't realize is that it actually increases stability too. And then the other thing is, in the pull, that pull becomes stronger because it's easier to pull from a narrower grip than
exactly.
it is a wider grip. It just means that the turnover has a longer phase.
And I think that's the thing. Like, we worked on his long drive for so long that was just wasn't an issue when he brought his hands in. But he's just so much stronger through the middle of the pull now. Like, it's just incredible. The drive that he gets from his knee to the hip, it's just, the bars are just flying up. And he missed his snatch, missed a PR snatch the other day. I'm not going to tell you because we're competing against you. He missed a PR snatch behind him just because he pulled it so high. And he's literally never missed a snatch behind him in his life.
And his hands were
narrow.
Narrow, yeah.
It's just incredible. So He's looking to do something really cool today.
Do you reckon he has a shot at medaling?
Yeah, he's got an outside shot. He has to perform. I think he's only ever missed like two lifts in competition ever. So he's pretty consistent. So I'm pretty confident whatever we put on the bar for him, he'll hit.
Yeah.
It's just what everyone else does around him.
Yeah.
And so we've just got to play to what everyone else is doing. And that's kind of our game plan, is like, we don't really have set numbers. We're just going to go in and kind of react. Because again, I'm just so confident with what he can do, and confident with his ability on the platform, because he's just such a good athlete.
Yeah.
Like, just so strong. In the next few years, I think he could win nationals. And I think that'd be really cool.
That would be cool. So, yeah. Especially because he's like, that 102 category is like,
it's pretty
getting
tough.
pretty strong. And that, you know, like, that's something that I'm like you heard me rant yesterday. Wait, were you there when I was ranting about the weight categories yesterday?
No, I don't think
so. It might not have been you, but I was like, you know, like talking about how stupid, like.
Oh, the, yes, the, yes, yes, I the was. The spread, was like, the spread of class. Like, why is that 102 even there?
Yeah. but, like, you know, there are some classes that seem pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, there's 109, 102. Like, I'm pretty happy with them because, like, that's a nice little jump.
Yeah.
In the past, when you had under 105, over 105, it was just too big. You know, like, you can have a 110 kilo guy cut down to the under 109s and be like a big dude that's muscular and like quite slim.
Yeah.
But then you can jump up to like 120 plus.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the past, like, it was, there wasn't that spread there.
Yeah,
so
for
having
sure.
That 102, 109 is a good, I think it's a good fit. Though I think 112 would be better.
Yeah, yeah. Having that big 10 kg jump from the 2s to the 12s would actually be a good idea. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it's the weight divisions are interesting, and I don't know if you heard on Seb's podcast, Weightlifting House.
Yeah, yeah.
They're thinking about changing them again.
Yeah, with the one with JP.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's going to be interesting if they change them again. What are they going to do? Like, are they going to use science based this time, or are they the political country is going to get involved and have their way again?
Did you see the classes that got leaked?
Yeah, yeah, so that was great.
When I saw that, I actually was like, oh wow, this is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
75 kilo class, that's going to be tough, but I'll try.
But I'll get jacked.
It would have actually fixed that middle place, because what you saw, and this is how like weight category should work, is that the opposite ends should be fairly light in weight categories.
Yes.
And then as you get closer to the middle, that's where you have more and more weight categories. Whereas what we actually ended up with was like kind of like an even spread, but the categories don't also make sense.
Exactly. Like having a 45 for the females, like that's, it's just ridiculous. Like who's in that? We don't even have anyone in that, do we?
No one.
We have 49s.
And then you heard me ranting yesterday. Yeah. About 50,
I wasn't going to get into that.
Well, like, you know, you guys are athletes. I get that there are people that are a bit smaller, but you have to, you know, just put on the weight and, you know, be a real man. You gotta sit at that 61 kilo class minimum.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's
Which is
a,
weird
but it,
though, because like Om Yum Choi like does not do well at the 61s. Right?
Oh, really?
But he does really well at the 55.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said before, like I don't know too much about. Like, I mean, I know I watch it and stuff. I just don't know international weightlifters.
Yeah.
I know more of the Australian, New Zealand lifters. I follow them, and I have done for a long time now. So.
Well, yeah. Well, then you know we have no girls.
In the 45s.
We have one guy that could potentially be 56 or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Linton, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like he's strong enough, and like he's got like a good body for weightlifting. Like he looks strong, but if he went up to like 67. Like, he'd dominate.
Yeah, for sure.
If he got stronger as well.
While getting bigger. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just tricky. At the end of the day, like, you just got to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's what they've decided for whatever reason. We don't really have a clear outline reason why they decided to do these, but that's what we've been given. That's the hand that we've been dealt, and we just got to deal with it, you know?
But the cool thing is, like, when you have, like, something like this, like when we have a conversation, we can talk about
it. Yeah, for sure.
So I think it's a cop out to say not, like, just deal with it. As coaches and athletes, you have to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Spectators or people in the sphere of like talking about this stuff, I think we can complain.
Yeah, definitely. I hate complaining. I hate complaining about things. I hate complaining about people getting press outs and stuff like that. Like my view is just don't give anyone any doubt.
Yeah.
Like if you're not happy with the call, well, I'm sorry, that was the call. And so I don't know. I just don't love complaining. I don't love complaining about.
It is very subjective. Though.
It is. It is very subjective.
I do think that the press out rule should just be taken out. If they get it overhead.
Really?
If they get it overhead, they've
really?
Got it overhead.
Really? Nah, I disagree.
It's not. I get that it's not efficient, but it's not like it's safer than like just dropping it. Kind of sometimes. I don't know.
I like that. I mean, there is a line in the sand. Like, there is that clear cut. That is a lift. That is a bad lift. But then it is subjective because depending on the referees that you have or the jury members that you have, they could view the rule differently. But again, that's in every sport. That's in like, I'm obviously a massive rugby fan. Watched the All Blacks last night, and they the referees are in the fire in the World Cup at the moment. You know.
But see, like that's an objective sport.
It's
a subjective sport. It's not an objective sport.
But
weightlifting is meant to be an objective sport.
It should
be just like, did you get the weight up? Did you not get the weight up?
For sure. But then you argue that the rules are in the rule book for rugby as well, so it is objective, you know? Like it is clean cut. It's like that is the rule. This is the consequences to that rule. So I mean every sporter has that part of subjectivity. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting argument.
I think like in weightlifting, it's so hard because like if you take into account like the biomechanics and like the different anthropometry and like just how people move, you could see different things.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Like arm rotation, just like shoulder rotation or shoulder elevation and depression looks like
a press out
sometimes. Yeah. And you know, people that aren't as savvy in reffing will call those. But then you have this weird thing that's happening today in our sessions where the judges are actually lower than the athlete, which normally isn't the case, right?
Well, at Worlds it is.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, in
state comps, yeah.
So, like, they actually have, like, a really good view of the elbows. So I think they're being really good in there.
I agree. I mean, there's a few coaches that have been upset with the calls, but the jury's even overturned... Bad lifts to good lifts. And you never see that. It's an interesting one to argue because, I mean, the way I see it and the way I tell my athletes is again, if you give a referee a doubt, it's on you. If they give you a red, it's on you, and you can't complain. What I hate, and I think should be taken out because they've got the video referee now as the jury.
Yeah,
get rid of it. For me, like, what is the point in having three or five referees all sitting in the same spot have the right to overturn three referees that have sitting across the platform? Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, that's what I don't like.
That's Coffer's problem.
Yeah, that is Coffer. Right? That is all Coffer.
Because yeah. they used to just sit there not doing
and
anything.
And sleeping. Yeah, for sure. And then
I
Sam's
know
lunchbox.
That because I read your article.
That was all Coffer. God, that guy. He's such a great guy. I love Sam.
But yeah, like, it, yes and no. But because, like, the other thing is, like, when you have people's, like, different ability to lock out, like, not everyone's a gymnast, right? So, like, someone's lockout might look bent, but it's actually the maximum that they can extend it. And it might be different from one side to the other.
Well, that's the thing with the rules, though. It's the rule is the arm extension, right?
Yes.
And so... It's tricky because you're meant to explain it to referees, but then some referees don't want to know. It's like when you weigh in, you're like, oh, my arms don't straighten. And some referees like, oh, I don't really care. We're going to ref it to the rule book and stuff like that. And then you have masters athletes that they're just super tight and they can't straighten their arms out. And they're getting called for press outs or not even press outs. What's the rule? Like not arm extension, arm extension or something. So, yeah, it's just such a complex sport, isn't it? There's just so many things going on.
I just think there's so many shades of grey, they should just do away with it. It just makes life
easier. So we're back to clean and press, and then they can jerk it if they want?
They can jerk it if they want. And even
I mean, it's the most efficient way to do it.
It's going to
jerk.
Always be the best way of doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, do you watch Strongman at all?
Yeah, definitely.
All of those guys, they're, like, pushing amazing weights still.
Oh, mate, aren't they?
Like, I don't think it's that big a deal.
I mean, the best clean and press ever was, like, what, 230?
That's ridiculous.
That's so ridiculous.
That's a strict press.
We were watching it yesterday. Strict press with back bend. Like, no legs, but, like, full, like, lean back and throw your shoulders forward. 230. I mean, the world record clean and jerk is 267 or 266 or whatever it is.
Which happened here.
Yeah, for sure. How cool is that? But then Lasher hit in training the 267. I mean, to be fair, that looked like a press out too. But don't beat me up, Lasher.
yeah, he's listening to this. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like. I'm a rule follower, so I like those rules. I like having them there, and whatever's in the rule book, we'll follow it.
I have no problems with the rules.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I will follow the rules. I just think they're stupid.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They're like, I mean, I think the jury rule's stupid. Come on, Sam.
Well, it was smart for the time.
Yes, it definitely was. Like, they weren't doing anything. They were just literally sitting there falling asleep. And then they got involved and started being able to overturn rules. And then, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just...
What do you think about the, like, challenge system now that you're allowed to do? Because we're not allowed to do it here, right?
But they're testing it here. I don't know how they're testing it. It'd be interesting to see the testing. I think they might be just testing the equipment.
Yeah.
But... I think it just should get rid of the jury. Have one or the other. Have the referees run over to a screen, or have the referees have a screen and they review it, or
yeah.
Or just have a like a box or something that like the juries can only overturn the video referee calls.
Yeah. What about like a sophisticated AI unit that just gives the lifter a yes or a no?
Well, wasn't Grid working on that?
I don't know.
So Grid were actually working on something like that. So like the cutoff from CrossFit, they kind of like tried to explode and then they crashed and burned.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a funding thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they just went too big too soon.
Yeah.
But they were trying to develop a system where they didn't have to have referees. They could like all the muscle ups and all the snatches and stuff. They had like... the AI units just doing it all for them, counting the reps and stuff. So, I mean, I wonder how far they got into that. But again, there's always going to be conflict with anything. Yeah. And I think human error is better than computer error personally, because you've got people like someone to blame. And yeah, I think having that person that you can potentially...
I'm going to kill
you. Yeah. Just yell out just a little bit or under your breath, just get shitty about it and then move on, as opposed to, like, that computer system's screwed, you know?
That's
like,
very true. Like, well, sport is about humans, right?
Right, exactly. So I just don't like how much the computer
Russian,
system...
Then it's about steroids.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting to see if they can go to the Olympics this year.
Russia? I think Russia's out.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the avoiding the testing recently.
That's crazy, right?
I mean, they don't even have that many people going to the Olympics anyway. Like, just get them there, shit.
Terrible.
So bad. But yeah, anyway, I just don't think that computers and reviewing and stuff should dictate sports. And I mean, in the Rugby World Cup, we've seen a massive kind of overturn so many decisions that just shouldn't be overturned.
Yeah.
Or going back 5 minutes in a play to see some high tackle and then give them a red card.
Yeah.
And then they can't compete for the rest of the World Cup. Like, it's just it's just a bit ridiculous. Just play the sport.
Yeah, you know what? You've convinced me. you honestly have. Because, like, yeah, it never occurred to me, like, that human error is part of sport.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, don't get me started on self-driving cars. I don't like that one either. But anyway.
What, like AI driving
cars?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I just don't like computers. I just don't like technology.
I think you picked the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I got Beck. Yeah. I do the writing, Dan edits, and Beck deals with all the technology.
Cool, dude. Maybe that's a cool place to leave off.
Yeah, sweet. Sounds good.
How did you like that?
Yeah, man, that was awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Where can people find you?
We are Control Cast Weightlifting, Instagram, Facebook, and website. And then the weightlifting platform, same again, Facebook, Instagram. Instagram's most of our content. And then on our website as well, where we post all our articles and stuff.
Yeah. And your gym is in Victoria.
And it is in Victoria. Victoria Coburg. If you're in Victoria, come down, check the place out, come have a lift with the team. Anyone's welcome to come down and have a lift.
Awesome. Guys, you can find Raw Barbell Club at Raw Barbell Club on all of our social medias. So that's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Make sure you check out our YouTube, see how the team's training, putting up cool fire videos every week. We're going to be starting the podcast back up, which if you're watching this, you've watched, obviously. And that's going to be cool too. So make sure you subscribe, hit that notification bell so that you can see what's up next. On Instagram, make sure you follow us, chuck us a like. I'll appreciate that. Josh will appreciate a share, though.
Do it. Get the word out.
And if you really, really want to support the podcast, you now can. Making this podcast is a lot of fun, but it does cost us a bit of money from hosting fees, this new camera that we're using, all of those things. So all we're asking for is the price of a coffee. If every single one of you listeners donated a coffee, we'd have enough money to keep this podcast going for another 3 months. Thank you so much to everyone that's already donated, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, and thank you, Andy. That was fun.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for being on.
Sweet. Supersonic.